The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
A mundane haunting, unless you take a look at the terrifying implications. And then we travel to Brazil to take a look at the story of a young man out looking for love. Little did he know that love was also looking for him. Love from miles above. Today on Dead Rabbit Radio. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Dead Rabbit Radio. I'm your host, Jason Carpenter. I'm having a great day. I hope you guys are having a great day too. I hope you guys are having tons of fun doing whatever you're doing. We got a lot of stuff to talk about. So first off, running into Dead Rabbit Radio command, everyone get on your feet and give it up for one of our legacy Patreon supporters, Al Tyus. Woohoo, yeah, wee! Yeah, he's walking on in, doing the jig, walking on into Dead Rabbit Radio command. Al Tyus has been a legacy member of the Patreon for quite a while. That's why you are going to be our captain, our pilot this episode. If you guys can't support the Patreon, if you guys can't support the show financially, I totally understand. I really do just help spread the word about Dead Rabbit Radio. That helps out so much. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell everyone you know. Dead Rabbit Radio is your favorite paranormal show. Also, Patreons do get ad-free versions of the episode and access to the Discord. It might sound like I'm overselling the Patreon. If anything, I've been underselling it. People are like, what? You have a Discord now? And Al, before I toss you the keys of our first vehicle, I do want to make a couple announcements. First off, next week will be the last week of season 24. So we're going to finish off this week. We're going to do next week. I'm going to take a two-week break. And then season 25 will start. So that's how that is going to go. It feels, I know, you're probably thinking, dude, didn't you just take a break? Didn't you just take a week off a couple weeks ago? That's what I was thinking. I was like, I just took a week off a couple weeks ago. And then I remembered it was because I had strep throat because I literally couldn't talk. I need to recharge my batteries so I can be here to be with you and tell you some crazy stories. Also, this is news that's been going around the Patreon Discord, slowly filtering around. I think it's time I made it official. Dead Rabbit Radio is going to start airing on the radio. You're like, Jason, I'm pretty sure you break multiple FCC rules every episode. We'll get to that. But for right now, Dead Rabbit Radio is going to be airing on the radio. I don't have the details, but the contracts have been signed. You might want to do that the other way around next time, Jason. I don't know exactly what stations it's being aired on, but I'm working with a group to syndicate Dead Rabbit Radio nationwide on the radio. So pretty awesome, right? You can start calling me Frazier. You can start calling me Frazier. I'll call all of you Niles. We'll have a blast sipping wine. No, it's a long story. I'm not going to bore you with the back details, but basically, I'm going to be on the radio, Dead Rabbit. Now, this isn't going to be new content. We're going through old episodes of Dead Rabbit Radio, and I'm reconfiguring them to fit. They have to either be 28 minutes long or 58 minutes long. They have to be at a certain volume level. You're like, Jason, you laugh. Your laugh alone must throw the FCC into a tizzy. It's always so loud. We're doing all of these corrections. For the past couple weeks, I've been listening to old episodes of Dead Rabbit Radio and sending them off to this group that I'm working with to put together a syndication package. But it will be airing on the radio, at least at the two stations, and we're trying to sell it to other stations as well. It's a lot of the older episodes, like 700 and below, because those kind of were in that sweet spot around 33 minutes long. Now episodes are like 50 minutes long. Time creep. Now, what's interesting, so I've had to learn all this stuff. Again, I don't want to bore you with the details, but I think you guys will appreciate this detail, because I'll tell you, so it's going to be a weekly show on the radio. So we have 1,200 episodes. The show could run, what is that, like 10 years almost? And that's not going to affect the show. I don't want you to think that, oh man, he's going radio. That means his show's be going to, his show's no longer going to make me sick to my stomach. Oh man, he's not going to talk about beef stroganoff coming out of opened wounds. Oh man. No. Even if we did start using new episodes, they only use one episode a week. So even if I did have one episode a week that was tame, which isn't going to happen, but don't worry about the overall tone you're hoping. You're like, oh man, hopefully this show is going to be less disgusting, less disturbing. What's interesting is I've had to look into all these FCC rules. There's the obvious ones like no obscenities. That's why you never hear cussing. That's why you have a radio edit on albums. And I don't really do that much. So I was like, oh, it's going to be super easy. I have to go back and listen to these episodes just to make sure. You know, sometimes I might say something. Maybe I might have cussed in a particular episode. But then I started looking through the FCC guidelines. You can't make anything obscene. And you cannot in any way be explicit or overly descriptive any time you are mentioning poop. And that's when I go, uh-oh, okay, I know I do that all the time. Uh-oh. So I started listening to these episodes. Sometimes I can look right at the show notes. There was one episode I was like, oh, dude, this episode would be great. I'll edit a couple minutes out of this, because most of them, you know, if it's 33 minutes, I got to edit 5 minutes out. This episode will be great. I put it in, and it's like, first off, let me give a shout out to my Patreon supporter, steroids and crack cocaine. I was like, oh, well, I guess this episode's not going to be on the radio. Steroids and crack cocaine, a longtime Patreon supporter. I'm like, I can't edit that out. I mentioned it several times through the episode. One time I put in an episode, I was like, oh, this will be great. And I look at the show notes, actually. I was like, oh, this will be a great one. I look at the show notes, and it's about the second story is great for the radio. First story is about a man who added McDonald's. These are all the greatest hits. I'll put these in the show notes if I can find them again. There is a man who gets caught injecting drugs straight into his testicles in a McDonald's restroom. I go, oh, that's not going to fly. This is not going to be able to be on the radio. And there'll be episodes like, oh, look, it'll be like a smelly conspiracy. And I'm like, that probably involves poop just by looking at that sentence on the show notes. Probably poop. Most of the time, I just look at the show notes. And I have this big spreadsheets I've had to create saying, can't talk about, you know, this is the episode where he said Kanye West was a genius. Can't air that one. Any episode, oh, you can't slander people, which technically I do anyways on the podcast, but, you know, I can't put out an episode about Hillary Clinton pooping her pants at Guantanamo Bay. That's a double ban. And I'm just listening to episodes, listening to old episodes, playing Project Zomboid, because I'm listening. This is a huge amount of, this is the most Dead Rabbit listening I think I've done since the beginning of the show. I think really early on, I went back and listened to those first 50 episodes again. And I was like, ah, oh, this is decent. This is a decent show. This isn't chaotic. This isn't melting my brain in any way. Now I'm going back and listening to these episodes. It'll be a totally normal episode of Dead Rabbit Radio. It'll be talking about these crazy stories. And then I'm playing Project Zomboid and I'm listening to it. And then all of a sudden, I will start, unrelated and unprompted, start either talking about poop or making fart noises. I was like, oh, okay, I'm glad that I'm doing this. And I go, oh, I can edit that out. I was doing a story a long time ago about Russia got invaded by these alien monkeys. I was like, oh, this is pretty funny. Because I hadn't heard the episode in years. Most of those old episodes, I don't know how they end. It's like, what? I don't remember covering this. There's a giant guy banging some dude's aunt. Bunch of monkeys running around. And then I go into this like 3-minute thing about monkey poop and how the monkeys were pooping so much. I think I was making some fart noises. I was talking about how people were stepping in it and how disgusting it was. The consistency was not unlike beef stroganoff on a hot summer day. And I had to cut it out. Right? I know you're booing. You're all boo, boo. That was the best part of that episode. I had to cut it out. So what's interesting is the episodes as is are still available for you to listen to via your favorite podcasting app. These will just be radio versions of the episode. Listen, this is something that I never considered or planned on. So if this totally fizzles out, I'm okay. I did some extra work, but I'm fine. If it blows up, if it's this amazing thing, even better. And if it's just somewhere in the middle, I'm fine with that too, because this isn't anything that I ever thought. But Dead Rabbit Radio will be on the radio. I'll get more details to you soon. We've got the first 13 episodes ready to go, and those have been sent over. And now I'm working on the remaining 87 episodes. Because once you have 100 episodes ready to go, that's when they can start shipping your show around and selling it to other radio networks. So I spent more time talking about that than I wanted to, but I hope you guys are excited. I'm really excited. But again, if nothing comes of it, then, you know, I just spent some extra time listening to my podcast and realizing, you know, a lot of you guys have been telling me over the years, Rudy Jazz was like, we've been telling you this the entire time you talk about poop too much. I was like, oh, whatever, I poo-pooed those comments, but I now am in agreement that I do talk about it, and I probably will continue to in the future, because at the end of the day, poop is funny. Altius, I'm going to go ahead and toss you the... What's a good poop-related vehicle? No, I'm just joking. I'm going to go ahead and toss you the hair hang glider. Everyone grab onto Altius's ankles as he jumps off the highest point of Dead Rabbit Radio Command. Ow. Glide us all the way out to a little girl's house. We're headed all the way out to this little girl's... It's not a little girl's house. We're headed all the way out to the home of an adult woman and her family. Let's show you how prepared I am for this episode. I did just wake up from a nap, flying all the way out to the home of this family. The narrator of the story is a young woman. We'll call her Chloe. Chloe said, when I was a young girl, I grew up in a haunted house. So it's old hat for me when any sort of paranormal thing happens. Her kids are possessed. She's like, when I was your age, I was possessed by 10 demons and I still went to school. Chloe said she grew up in a haunted house. She definitely believes in the paranormal because she grew up in a haunted house. However, and this is a very healthy attitude to have, she goes, I don't believe every ghost story I hear. Which is a good attitude to have. You can believe in the paranormal and not be a rube. And she goes, the house that we're living in now, with her and her husband and her kids, she said, we've been living here for 15 years. And she has never sensed anything strange about this house. Her spidey senses weren't tingling for 15 years. She never would have thought that this particular house was haunted, save one thing. She said my kids would always complain about something was in their closet. I was saying, there's something in the closet, Mom. Something in the closet. I don't want to go to bed. And they're like, you got to go to bed. You got to sleep. Mammals have to sleep, and probably fish too. Birds, maybe, as well. And this went on for so long, and the kids were so adamant that there was a creature in the closet, or something. I don't think they specified a creature, the boogeyman, or ghost, or whatever, but they were like, something's in the closet, that Chloe and her husband ended up taking the doors off of all of the closets. Well, the kids' closets, at least, but that was not super helpful. I was like, no, the gateway is eternal now. Green glowing light is sucking you in. At least the closet door gave you a little bit of protection. But apparently that worked. The kids they wanted to see the phantom. They're like, Mom, there's something in the closet. And we want to see him. We want to see his ghoulish face gazing back at us. So I guess that would work. I mean, you could at least... it sounds so cruel. It sounds hilarious. Sounds like something I would do. I think there's a monster under my bed. Oh, you think that, Billy? From now on, your bed is under your bed. And they're like, what? From now on, I'm put the pillow and the blankets under the bed. I was like, there. Now, if you're sleeping under the bed, there can't be a monster under the bed because you're under the bed. And there's no under that bed. It's just the floor. It's just the cold concrete of the basement that you're sleeping on. Nighty-night. I mean, it would solve one problem. It would solve the problem. You don't have to worry about a creature under the bed, but there's, you know, back pain. Also, mice crawling on you in the middle of the night. Other problems. Anyways, taking the closet doors off seemed... the kids were fine with that. They liked that better, I guess. Well, anyways, she goes, other than that, I wouldn't have thought anything was paranormal. And even she didn't really think that was paranormal. She said, my kids are just being wimps. However, a couple of years ago, Chloe was in her house. And she goes, you know what? I want to get something out of the fridge. Something out of the frigerino. I feel like having a block of cheese. maybe she's the mouse. A thousand mice wearing women's clothing form one giant woman. She walks to the fridge and she opens it up. And then she bends over to look into the fridge. And that is when she feels her husband walk up behind her and he slides his arm around her waist. Loving embrace of a longtime partner. He reaches his hand around her waist. And she's like, ooh, my hubby. And then she went to touch his hand with hers. And she was touching her own waist. She's like, huh? And she stands up, she turns around. Her husband's not in the kitchen. There's nobody in the kitchen except for her. And she brushed it off. She goes, well, okay, you know, that was kind of weird, right? Maybe it was just my tummy grumbling. Maybe I really do need to eat that whole block of cheese. But she didn't really, like, think much of it. The ghostly embrace. Maybe some weird bodily sensation. Who knows? And that was kind of her attitude until November 21st, 2023. Chloe is laying down to take a nap. And that is when she hears the voice of a young man whisper directly into her ear. And she thinks that it's one of her kids. She thinks it's one of her kids. You know, maybe he's gone through puberty and his voice is dropping a couple octaves. But she kind of rolls over. And it's not any of her kids. No one's in the room at all. In fact, her kids aren't home. Her kids are not even in the home at this time. She hears a voice say something. I'll tell you what the voice said in a second, because that's very, very important, and I feel like there's a bit of a misread. But this was posted online underneath the name Just for the Spam and Eggs. And they said, they kind of posted here at the ending, they go, quote, I didn't feel threatened or scared, but it is still very strange. I can still hear the voice. Not like constantly she's all trying to write it. She's like, my brain. You know what I mean? Like when she remembers it, she can distinctly hear the voice of this ghost, you would assume at this point. Which might be a fair assumption, but let's keep going. I can still hear the voice. Ironically, we have been talking about selling the house. It almost makes me not want to. If there is something benevolent that happens to fall into a certain rare frequency, I hate the idea of a further disruption to an energy that may not grasp what is going on. Let's continue to be on the side of this is just the ghost. One thing that's interesting, because we've covered so many stories on the show, we've talked about this over and over. A lot of times in houses like this, where there's a multi-person house, you'll have someone post a story online or talk about their ghostly encounters, or they don't know what it is, right? And they'll be like, something weird's going on in my house. And they'll share the house with a couple other people, and they don't actually ask the other people in the house about it. A lot of times you don't want to seem like you're going crazy, or you don't want to seem like you're blowing stuff out of proportion, or that you're a scaredy cat, or whatever. But as time goes on, when these family members start to talk, we did one recently about a little girl who was attacked by a black hand. And she thought that was her story and her story alone until years later she was talking to her brother. Put this episode in the show notes, but talking to her brother, and he goes, hey, you remember that black hand that used to be at our old house? He had seen it too, but they never talked to each other. We see this happen a lot. It's possible that the father and the children are also having an experience, but we don't know. I could surmise that, but we don't know. Here's the thing. I'm going to tell you what the voice said, and I think it's going to give you a completely different read on the situation. If anything, I mean, like, we got to sell at a loss. Maybe not that. Maybe not that bad. But it's just creepy. Not, I'm going to devour your soul. Nothing like that. Almost, in a lot of ways, creepier. November 21st, 2023, Chloe's laying down to take a nap and she hears a voice in her ear. The voice of a young man, and it says, "Mama doesn't care." Mama doesn't care. Dot, dot, dot. Now, listen, man, I don't want to, like, I don't want to always go to the grimmest option. And I feel, in a way, this is something we posted on the Patreon Discord. I go, did we cover this story before? Because we covered something similar to this. Mason had pulled one up, but I go, no, that's not the episode I was thinking of. I appreciate you digging through the episodes, buddy, but I, sometimes it's that I read these stories multiple times, right? This was published a long time ago, back in November, and it could be that I had the thought back then and just getting around to recording it. I think that she's hearing the echo of a child molestation. I don't think this is a good ghost. I think this is the ghost of either a child molester or an incest dude. I don't know what the term is. Like, if the incest D, is that a term? I don't know. I don't know. Don't want to really find out. I'm not typing that into Google. If, like, you had a 20-year-old girl and her 25-year-old brother, like, I would just call them, just call him the incest dude. I'm like, hey, buddy, what's up, man? What's up, ID? He's like, dude, can you quit calling me that? I was like, I don't know. It's kind of what you're into, right? He's like, yeah, kind of. It wouldn't make him a child molester. It would make him an incest dude. If you were over, well, anyways, the point is that I think that's what this is. I said that she hasn't talked to the other people in this family, but it might be her husband, and she may only have boys, because when she heard the voice, she goes, I thought it was one of my kids. I don't know. If she's the only woman in the house and this haunting is only happening to her, then that only adds more fuel to my hypothetical fire that this is some sort of incest ghost. And what she's hearing is that echo, right? You have someone at the house, and I mean, I don't really any more detail, right? You're like, yep, Jason, we get it. We get it. Mama doesn't care. Mama doesn't care. As if the girl is saying, you know, I'm going to tell mom what you're doing. Mama doesn't care. The opposite of a benevolent spirit. Now, there's two things that could be going on here. One, it's possible it's a residual haunting. And that is when someone, usually it's when somebody dies, but sometimes such psychic force can be just emanated from a person because of an incredibly tragic event. There are ghosts of living people, and that's where that comes from. But it's not a ghost you can communicate with. It's not a ghost that you can send to the other side. It's more of an echo that's kind of etched into the environment. But then you think it would be coming from the victim. And these seem to be that Chloe is hearing what the perpetrator would say. And also, I gotta say, I could be way off on this. I could be way off on this. I'm not saying this is 100% the answer. But I would, there's not a lot, when you combine the two, when you combine being bent over in front of a fridge and feeling an arm wrap around your waist, and when that same person is laying down and hears the voice, Mama doesn't care. When you combine those three, the trying to sleep, the voice, the same, Mama doesn't care, and then the intimate gesture at the fridge, makes me think it's from the point of view of the perpetrator. And while it's not impossible for a perpetrator to leave some sort of psychic energy behind, definitely this would be a foul crime, a foul fault of morals to do something like this. It could produce this type of psychic energy. It could also be this dude's ghost. What's interesting about it is, is, remember, they moved into this house 15 years ago. It's only been a couple years since she felt the grasp around her waist. And then very recently in November, she heard this voice. I don't know if it's gaining power. I don't know what's taking it. I mean, I hope it takes forever. I hope it doesn't actually get to do anything. But you wonder, like, how powerful is this spirit? It doesn't seem to be that powerful at the moment. It can't seem to manifest in any real way for any given amount of time. But what's interesting is Chloe is like, I don't really want to disrupt the... She's right. This is a rare phenomenon. That is true. I think if you grew up in a haunted house, there is a certain magic to that. Assuming that it's not, you know, like plates being thrown at you while you're sleeping or your mother throwing up and dragging your baby brother to hell one day. You know, there is a magic to it. There's a uniqueness to growing up in a haunted house. It is rare. But this one I don't think is benevolent. I don't think so. And if you continue to stay, I think you're playing into its hands. If my guess is right. Now, what would be interesting too is, it'd be one thing if you had a house where late at night you would wake up and you'd be walking down the hallway and you'd see the outline of a hanging man at the other end of the hallway. He's just slowly swaying in a non-existent breeze, right? You see this shadowy man hanging at the end of your hallway. I'm sure you could justify selling that. You go to the place where, I don't know how you sell houses, but you go to the house store, you got this big pee stain on your pants. You're like, hey man, your eyes are all blurry because you haven't slept for a couple nights. You haven't even changed your pants. You're like, hey, how do I sell my house? They're like, is there anything wrong with it? Is there anything wrong with you, sir? You stink of stale urine. He's like, ah, I'm fine. But I want to sell my house. I want to get rid of my house. If you sold your house to somebody, and it turns out that every so often a silhouette of a hanging man appears in your hallway, you'd be like, whatever, you can deal with it. I hope he has a lot of pairs of pants. But what if you knew, and again, this is all conjecture because we don't know for sure, but what if you knew your house was haunted by a pervert ghost? And not even like a fun pervert, not like a Benny Hill pervert. Pinching ladies on the butt, something like that, which is a crime. It is a crime, but you know, in the 70s and 80s, it was cheeky to do that. Nowadays, yeah, that's a crime. But if you had a house and it was haunted by a Benny Hill-esque phantom, who every so often, like, a girl would come over and it'd flip her dress up, and you get to see her undies. I could be fine with that. I could be like, yeah, I sold a house to this guy, and it's haunted by this light pervert, not by the normal definition, not by today's definition of pervert, but he's like a dirty old man ghost. Dirty old man ghost. I sold it specifically to a single man in his 20s, so I don't have to worry about anything too weird going on. But would you, if you knew that, like, you're like, oh, this house is haunted by this house is haunted by an incest dude, how do I sell this house? There's almost like a moral obligation to either not sell it or just burn it down. Just be like, well, I guess I'm an arsonist now. I guess that's what my job is. I'm burning down this house because it's haunted by an incest dude. Like, that would be, you couldn't really, I don't think, morally sell that house if you thought it was haunted by an incest dude. Because how could you justify that? You sell your house, the guy's shaking the hand with the realtor, and you're standing outside of the home selling store, and you're like, ah, great, yes, perfect, off my hands. I don't have to worry about any perverted ghost at all. And you drive away, but then you start thinking about it, and you're like, dude, that's kind of messed up. I don't think you could actually sell a house like this. You'd have to try to get rid of the spirit. Because if you just sold a house and you know an incest dude was haunting it, then that's kind of on you. You should declare that when you sell the house. And I would argue if you say that, the buyer then goes, oh, I'm even more interested now. Sell it to somebody else. If you can, right? Morally, could you sell incest dude ghost house. Chloe, I wish you the best. I hope that this is not what I'm saying. I hope it's just a weird ghost, but it definitely sounds like a big old pervert. Al Tyus, let's go ahead and toss you the keys to the world famous carpenter copter. We are leaving behind this house. Fly us all the way out to Brazil. Specifically, we're headed to Botucatu. That's in Sao Paulo, Brazil. It's November 29th, 1982. Not too long ago, I did a story that took place in Brazil. I had a really hard time pronouncing this dude's name. A lot of you guys reached out to me to tell me how to pronounce it, which was very helpful. I love hearing from you guys. However, I will say, everybody gave me a different... Everyone told me a different pronunciation. They were like, no, you're saying it. You're saying it wrong, and here's the correct way, and I got a couple different ones. But let me see here. Blue Duvernay 5852 on YouTube. Blue Duvernay. Can't pronounce that name either, but they said... So the name is Jahao. J-O-A-O. Blue Danuvrin 5852 said there's actually really no way to pronounce that in English, but the closest that you can come up with is Joe Uh-oh. But then you have to pronounce the J like a sh. So show. Show. Luckily, this guy goes by a nickname. So let's get this party started. It's November 29th, 1982. Show. Valerio da Silva, a.k.a. Django. Or is it Hango? I think it's Django. Django is his nickname. Django's at home cooking some foods. Kentucky Fried Chicken. Apparently he lives at a KFC. He's cooking up some fried chicken. He's like, yummy, yummy, yummy. Putting on the powder, putting on that flour and stuff, and then deep frying it. Oh, it's going to be so good. He's cooking at home, and then all of a sudden a bright light appears outside. Doesn't make any noise. Doesn't make any noise, but if it did, that's what it would sound like. A bright light appears outside. He's like, what tarnation is that? Grabs a piece of chicken. He's walking through his house. He gets to his living room, and that's when he sees this intense beam of bright light just shining down from above, shining right through his roof. It's like coming through. He's like, he's eating the chicken real quick. I'm gonna need calories for whatever comes next. And he starts floating up off the ground. But before he hits the ceiling of his house, right? He's like, oh, no, this is kind of fun, right? But then there's like a ceiling right above his head. He's like, oh, this is going to be too fun. The part where I crumple like a wad of tissue. Right before his head hits the ceiling, he's on his knees in a large circular room. This is why I love alien stories. This type of stuff I love about alien stories. He's hovering out of his living room right before he hits the ceiling. He's on his knees in this circular room, and the floor is a hot, spongy floor. He's looking around. He said the room was about 32 feet in diameter. He also said it was well lit, but there was no visible light source. He's looking around. I'd be touching the floor more. Like, I'd be like, oh, that's aliens were walking by his maps of the universe. I was like, whoa, check out this floor. I'm all rolling around in it. Sounds kind of fun, a hot, spongy floor. As he's looking around, Django's like, dude, this place is totally trippy. And then he sees six aliens standing there. They all wore hoods with long capes. He noticed that one of them, because you know, it's like those old monk robes, like those Shaolin monk robes from that Mortal Kombat video game. He's standing there, and he's like, whoa, dude, what? And then he sees all of their features are hidden underneath these robes, but one of them, he can see its hands, and it had scaly hands with three fingers. Oh, great. This is going to be one of those gross alien abductions. That's what Django's thinking. But then, just then, one of these aliens removes her robe, her cloak, and she's a beautiful woman. Gorgeous woman. In fact, Django uses quite the words to describe her. He says that she has a thin, oval face. That's not too alluring. However, he also says she had a thin, aquiline nose. I had to look that up. Aquiline means curved. So she had a curved nose. Like, I can't picture that, right? Maybe like a little bump in the middle? I don't know. She had a thin oval face, a thin aquiline nose, voluptuous lips, quote-unquote voluptuous lips, that were pink-red. Very alluring. Very alluring alien woman. Especially compared to who she's standing next to, this creature with only three fingers. They're all green and scaly. He's like, I do not want what's behind door number two. I'm looking at this beautiful woman. Django described this woman as a princess from space. That was one of his direct quotes. And he immediately began to feel the bodily sensations that a man may feel in the presence of a beautiful alien princess. He starts to get turned on. Starts to think, oh, this is one of those cool alien abduction things. I'm going to bang this lady. This is going to be one of those intergalactic love stories. And he's staring right at her. He's like, dude, this woman's going to be so hot. Just from what I've seen so far. Aqualine, oh, my favorite kind of nose. She has zero emotion in her eyes. She's just staring straight ahead. Almost like an automaton. Django's like, don't matter. Don't matter. It's been a while for me. Could be a hole in the wall. I'm down. The woman, this princess from space, she undoes her entire robe. Like, first she took off her hood and her cloak, but now she throws all of her clothes off. She's beautiful. This beautiful naked woman. Django, let me read you this exact quote from the source of the story. Quote, Django's stunned gaze descended the length of her nubile body, past her bodacious bosom, nipped in waist. I don't understand what that means. Does that mean like they have the tiny waist? Nipped in waist. Dimpled navel. Don't we all have that? Does that just mean we were born of a human? Isn't that a... I guess maybe he was hoping it wasn't an Audi. You know how long it's been since I've... This is a weird conspiracy. When's the last time you've seen an Audi belly button? It's been decades since I've seen an Audi belly button. Anyways, I'll look. There might be a conspiracy theory. That might be an episode for the new season. Django's stunned gaze descended the length of her nubile body, past her bodacious bosom, nipped in waist, dimpled navel, and rounded hips, hinting at a voluptuous rear. Unquote. They say, Doja Cat says, you know, the booty's big when you can see it from the front. And that's what Django is experiencing right now. If he was a cartoon character, his eyes would be boom, 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 bouncing out. She's still completely zoned out. She has zero reaction to the fact that this dude is in this UFO. That's kind of a mood killer, I would say. You met a hot chick and she looks like she doesn't even exist. She doesn't look like she has a brain. If she's just staring straight ahead, that's kind of a mood killer. I don't know. Maybe I'm in the minority on that one. Django is like, dude, this is going to be so dope. I don't know what I did to get here. I don't know what brought me up to this vessel, this spacecraft from beyond. But I can't wait to do the dirty with a space princess from beyond the stars. Django! Django, wake up! Huh? What? Django, wake up! It's your brother! Wake up, huh? What? Oh, man! Oh, what's going on? And you go, just so this is just a dream, you weirdo? You read us some dude's sex dream? No. No. Well, maybe, but here's the thing. What they did was they found him because he was cooking dinner. Now, there's various reports. Sometimes he's cooking dinner at like 10 p.m. I left out the time on purpose. Sometimes he's cooking food, getting food at like 10 p.m. Sometimes it's like 3 in the morning. And that's kind of the first hint that we were going to have a little bit of trouble talking about the back end of the story. But whatever the case, whenever he was making food, he wakes up, he is on the floor in his house, completely naked. And his family, when they wake up in the morning, they find Django laying naked on the floor, covered in a sickly smelling oily substance. So I'm sure there was conversation before they woke him up. They're like, okay, who's touching this guy? We obviously got to shake him awake. He's not waking up. And we say, Django, Django, one of us has to touch him. But he's covered in oil. It smells gross. And he's naked. His clothes are in a pile next to him. And his skin, not only was it covered in this oily substance, he also was covered in red marks. Had these red marks on his skin. Also, his watch stopped, which would be the least. Right? They're like taking you to the hospital. You're still naked. You're all disoriented. You're covered in slime. And you're like, no, no, we got to stop by the watch store first. Ah, my watch stopped. What time is it? They're like, Dad, no. Look at, you're covered in red welts. No, I don't know what time it is. Now, here is where the story starts to go sideways. This is very interesting because a lot of people apparently have looked into the story over the years. And Django himself has talked a lot about this story. It's been pretty well covered when we look at Brazilian UFOlogy. Even though some of the details don't add up, like there's versions where he is cooking, where this happens really late at night versus kind of after everyone went to bed, like 10 p.m. versus 2 in the morning. There's versions where he is in his house and he's abducted inside the house. There's another version where he walked outside the house and the beam caught him out there. There's also versions of the story where there's no sexy alien. Which is weird because that's kind of the point, right? That he was banging this space chick. No sexy alien. Then there's a version where the sexy alien is there, but they're not wearing robes. They're wearing rubber. Wearing rubber overalls, like Oshkosh Bagosh overalls made of rubber. Then there's another version where Django has met his children. You're like, Jason, so he's making it up. He's clearly made it. True stories don't have that big of a difference because it's either true or it's false. Well, Django says, yeah, I met my kids. I met my kids at some point because I did bang this space lady. And they are aliens. My kids are half human, half alien. His human kids are there. He's like, get out of here, you homo sapien. No, I have some alien kids now. He goes, they look like me, but they have pointy ears. That's the only thing that gives them away. It's very interesting because even though you have all these differences in these stories, and one of them, the guy was like the voluptuous boobies, all that stuff. That was written by the two main sources that I looked at. One of them was Gray Barker, who's a UFO researcher who other researchers says he has a tendency to drift to the, quote, the imaginary. The other version that you'll see passed around was actually an ebook written by Django. Django himself wrote what happened with this. And it was written in Portuguese. It's been translated into English. I haven't read it. It's quite long. Right? Like, Jason, that could answer all these questions, you numbskull. You're like, well, I don't know what really happened. But, you know, the guy who went through it, he wrote a really long book, you know, and I'm on a time crunch. I do plan. I mean, we've done that before. I think it'd be really interesting to read. I will imagine that it won't answer a lot of questions. It'll just add to more of the confusion. But what's interesting about this, Let me divert you from there. You have to at least read the book before you tell us about it. What's interesting about this story is no matter what version you follow, a lot of UFO researchers have investigated this over the years, and they've heard ridiculous stories involving this, possibly changing narratives. However, the UFO researchers all kind of come to the same conclusion. He was abducted. Whether or not it was with a, whether or not he had sex with a beautiful space alien or a space alien in a rubber suit, rubber overalls, he was abducted. And I think that's because of the witnesses waking up in the morning and finding him. And I think that's because of the marks on his skin. And I think there is a little bit of disorientation when you get brought aboard a ship. Now, that doesn't excuse things like what time the abduction took place or where it took place. These are big details to get wrong, for sure. But there is such a bizarre... I mean, just really looking at that sensation of you're flying up, you almost hit the ceiling, and now you're on your knees. That alone is something that is abstract for us to think about. We can talk about it, and it can pop in the head, but how would that feel? The very physics of that, floating up, and then the next thing you know, he didn't drop to his knees. There was no pull down to his knees. He was simply on his knees on the floor, with no movement in between. Now, we know there must have been some sort of movement or transition, or did there have to be something like that? Are we talking about rules of physics that are just so beyond what we're used to doing? What happened in between him and his house, or him getting abducted? Was it inside or outside? But what happened between him getting abducted and him being returned? Who knows? But he was definitely abducted. He has these red marks all over his skin. Jason, is that really all the evidence? I can go get red marks on my skin. You're like, I'm gonna prove Jason wrong. You're all swimming in a swamp. You're like, come leeches, come give me the red marks. And then you just send me photos of yourself covered in red marks. And you're like, look, Jason, do you believe I was abducted? I was like, what? This is a shocking photo to wake up to 5 a.m. I find it an absolutely fascinating story. I didn't read the book. I know I did. Here's the thing. I will say this, though, guys. I could have just left that part out. I could have never mentioned that he wrote a book and that I didn't read it. I actually wrote in my notes, I plan to read the book. It says, I did include that sentence. I plan to read the book in my notes. I just find the story absolutely fascinating. It's alarming to find a loved one on the floor covered in oil. That'd be weird. Seeing them covered in red marks, bizarre. You're like, what is, now that you say it, did he go into the swamp? I didn't think about this. He's covered in an oily substance that's smelly. He has red marks all over his body. It's kind of what would happen if you walked into a swamp and a bunch of leeches got on you. I don't know if there's a lot of swamps in Brazil, I will say, in his defense. I wonder how many people have actually used alien abduction stuff. This isn't how I planned on ending the episode, but I gotta end it. I'm gonna do it. I wonder how many people have actually used, like, alien abduction or ghosts to cover up bad behavior. Like, if you were dating someone who... I'm sure this happens a lot. Maybe not a lot. You like how I sound so sure some of the time? Imagine you were dating someone who was really into the paranormal and you started cheating on them. And they'd be like, hey, honey, work ended like 4 hours ago. Where were you? I tried calling you. The baby needs milk. And you're like, oh, dude, you won't believe what happened. So it turns out that my workplace is haunted. And she's like, oh my gosh. And you're like, yes. And it's a very, very powerful poltergeist. And I was trapped in a maze, an unending maze of monstrosities beyond the imagination. She's like, oh my. And you're like, yeah, I was crazy. I opened the door, and the next thing I knew, I was trapped in this hellish realm between good and evil, and I saved the princess or whatever. I don't know. And once you realize she bought it, you're like, so that's why I was late. Sorry about baby's milk. I can go pick some up now, but I'm pretty sure the Minotaur is looking for me, so it's probably safer if I stayed here and watched television. She's like, oh, yeah, you're right. I'll go get the milk. And you're like, and then you could use that. You could actually use that as a defense. If your wife believed in UFOs or something like that, she's like, hey, honey, why do you have that hickey on your neck that just looks just like the outline of your intern Jessica's voluptuous lips? You go, well, you wouldn't believe this. Jessica is actually a shapeshifter from Reticuli. Your wife's like, oh, really? And you're like, yes, yes. And in fact, I'm such an important person on Earth that the shapeshifter, he's like, what planet did I say? She's like, Reticuli. He's like, oh, yes, Reticuli. The shapeshifters have been trying to infiltrate my organization for quite a while. She goes, well, you work at Chipotle. He's like, yes, yes. But in space, Chipotle burritos are a form of currency. Okay. And so my intern, you have interns at Chipotle, right? You have someone who makes the rice while you're putting the burrito together. So she tried to make her move tonight. She shapeshifted into you, honey, the most beautiful woman in the universe. She shapeshifted into you, and I actually thought it was you. So I was like, oh, awesome. My wife works at Chipotle now. And we started making out, but I could tell the very first moment that that wasn't your kiss, because I know what your kiss feels like. She's like, oh my goodness. And then I realized that this must be some sort of shapeshifter. And that's when she gave me this hickey. She was trying to create this, again, once you realize their body, you're like, ah, she's trying to do some mind control thing. Whatever. Sit down, you're eating your Chipotle burrito. She's like, wait, isn't that money in outer space? Can we be space millionaires? He's like, yeah, but this is a steak Chipotle burrito, the most delicious, so I gotta eat it. You can actually use these. I mean, if you're a completely despicable person who lied to your loved ones, I could see this working. You could actually have some wiggle room if you made these stories up. But did Django make his story up? Was he actually abducted by aliens? A lot of UFO researchers agree. Does he have space kids? That's where researchers go. Maybe. They're like, I don't know, man. It's so funny. Because at one point they'll go, yeah, he probably didn't get abducted. But other than that, we don't know how much of what he's saying is real, or real and exaggerated, or just a complete figment of his imagination. No one's really out and out calling him a liar. They just think that maybe something happened and he filled in the blanks with this fantastic tale of hot space princesses. And you've also learned a valuable lesson. If you ever want to get out of trouble, just make sure you're dating someone who believes in cryptids or whatever, and just blame that on them. If you ever get caught with another woman, be like, what? No, that was not another woman. That was, I don't know. That was the Chupacabra. That was Chupacabra. You make them wear these rubber suits. Your mistress is like, I like you and all. Why do I have to dress? What do I have to dress up as the Chupacabra? And you're like, listen, lady, you want to have sex or not? If my wife comes home and finds us, she's going to think that I'm having an affair, but if you're dressed like the Chupacabra, if I'm having sex with the Chupacabra, she'll think that I'm a master of cryptozoology. She'll totally believe it. And then, then you look at the camera and you're like, nope, I just have a huge Chupacabra fetish. I'm not even married, but I've been tricking women to dressing up as the Chupacabra for years. That is what I truly want. Again, this episode will never air on the radio. That's what I'm talking about. The show's not going to change at all. DeadRabbitRadio@gmail.com is going to be our email address. You can also hit us up at Facebook.com/DeadRabbitRadio. TikTok is @DeadRabbitRadio. Dead Rabbit Radio is the daily paranormal, conspiracy, and true crime podcast. You don't have to listen to it every day. I'm glad you listened to it today. Have a great one.